Tell me a wee bit about the plantation of Fermanagh, the kind of potted history.
Plantation of Fermanagh. Fermanagh was ruled by the Maguires, as Donegal was ruled by the O'Donnells, and Tyrone was ruled by the O'Neills. But Fermanagh was only ruled by the Maguires under sufferance of the O'Neills of Tyrone, because they had them on Fermanagh.
Mm-hmm.
Maguire's county was not considered to be very, the people of this county were not considered to be great swordsmen or fighters. Maguire's went to war, they brought in the O'Reillys of Cavan, mm-hmm. or the McCabes out of Scotland, who were mercenaries, or various other tribes that employed this mercenary army. But mm-hmm. anyhow, in the plantation, Sir John Davies came to Enniskillen here, found out all the Maguire lands. The English Maguire, who had fought for Queen Elizabeth during the 9 Years' War, mm-hmm. he was supposed to be granted 3 baronies.
Right.
And he ended up with only not even one full barony at the end of the thing. 2 were allocated entirely to Scottish, 2 allocated entirely to English,
mm-hmm.
and then there was other bits and mixtures, and 7 baronies.
Mm-hmm.
And the barony of Knockninney, which is where it comes from, around mm-hmm. Derry Lynn country, that was allocated to Scottish. But by the end of the first 10 years, the Scots had all bar 1 out of their 9,000 acres allocated. They had sold on 8,000 acres. So I'm getting stuck in about this whole business of, you know, Ulster Scots and all that kind of crack, you know.
So tell me a bit about Ulster Scots and your view of it. And
the Ulster Scots. Well, it's an invention of these people who are on the extreme Protestant side, the same way as sort of the IRA is an extreme invention of the Catholic side.
Mm.
And it's more about annoying each other than it's about actual reality. And I mean, when they come up with this Ulster Scots dialect, which is a dialect, it's not a language, you know, it was really to get on the same level as the Irish language, with Irish languages going right.
Mm.
Wherever the Irish language is written down, we want the Ulster Scots rest of written down. Really crap stuff altogether. But I've always been interested in the idea that when the English, 2 English baronies, 1 was around here, we were running off towards Irvinestown and Beleek, and the other one was up around about Rosslea.
Mm-hmm.
And these were English people, and basically they all came from most of the ones in those all came from East Anglia.
Mm-hmm.
The Blennerhassets had the Beleek estate and the Keish estate, and then the next ones up there were the Ardsdales,
mm-hmm.
and then there was the Bartons.
Mm-hmm.
And the English had made a much greater and a much less noticed contribution to the plantation over here.
Mm-hmm.
And things like, you know, most of these things are written about from the macro history point of view. I tend to write from the micro history point of view, which is the common man or woman. How did the ordinary tenant care? Did he really give a damn?
Mm-hmm.
He was going to have to pay rent to somebody or other.
Mm.
And the Maguires, the exactions of the Maguires and these other chieftains could be very severe and rather arbitrary. It wasn't just that you paid your rent, but when the king was, or your chieftain was going to war, you had to send on many of your sons or whatever it is to go to fight. You also had to hand over a pile of cattle, because this is what they took with them to slaughter and eat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this was a fairly arbitrary sort of life.
Mm.
So new boys coming in, and as it turned out, the native Irish, in the end, they couldn't get rid of them without nowhere to put them. But in fact, a lot of these people that came in on the plantation only for the native Irish that had died of starvation in the first couple of years, because they came in, they might have had a certain amount of stock and stuff like that, but they wouldn't have time to plant crops, and they wouldn't have, you know. So in actual fact, in the Barony of Lurg, there was quite a lot of interaction between the Irish and the English,
mm-hmm.
And the Irish and the Scots as well. But it wasn't until the borderers came over, the people from the border areas between England and Scotland, the
mm-hmm.
steel bonnets that used to raid down to England when it suited them, raided up into Scotland when it suited them, and then the rest of the time they spent raiding each other. And these boys, when James the 6th of Scotland was granted the throne of James the 1st of England, he decided to put an end to the carry on, because no matter where they raided, they were raiding his subjects.
Mm.
So we hanged them in 30s and 40s in Carlisle and Jedburgh and across that whole Newcastle to Carlisle route, and invited a whole lot of the rest of them to go to Ireland for the good of their health. And so that's how we ended up in Fermanagh. We have three out of the five most common names in Fermanagh are Scottish border names, Johnson, Armstrong and Elliot. And the two Irish ones, the most numerous, Maguire, and the third one, most numerous, McManus. So that's how we got them over here. And the borders survived because basically they were good light cavalry. This is how they raided each other, by horseback. And for example, the Johnsons have a winged spur as their family symbol. So these boys, they came over here. They spoke a variety of Gaelic, which allowed them to get to know what the Irish were saying, so the Irish couldn't plot behind their back like they could against the Burrell English, who hadn't the bullish notion of what has been said behind their back. And because they were fairly good fighting men, they survived. And a lot of them were planted in the area of the Fews in South Armagh, and apparently there's a rhyme there that said they're supposed to be composed by the local of Irish. It said, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews, save us from the Johnsons, King of the Fews." There is another little verse about them. This is it's called the Lament of the Parting Reaver, the Parting Reaver, and this is the border raider being kicked out and sent to Ireland or wherever. And it says, "This is my departing night, for here no longer must I stay, for there is neither friend nor foe of mine but wishes me away." So it's a bit of an epitaph to yourself and all belong to you, that neither your friends nor your enemies want you back, you know. So this is the border reavers, and this is this, you know, this whole myth of the Ulster Scots and all the rest of it. I mean, Scotland gets its name from the original name for Ireland, and it was that there were so many people passing over and back between
all the time,
for probably thousands of years. So Scotia was the original name for Ireland by the Romans, and because there were so many Irish over there, that it got transferred over and then became Scotland. So these probably Irish as much as Scots, so they got their DNA all done for themselves.